Morning. It's good to see all of you. Let's pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The human body moves with dangerous speed from thirst to dehydration to death. We can go days, even weeks without food, but human beings will perish after only days without water. If you have ever run out of water in the desert, you know the fear that sets in. Even places with abundant water, dehydration lurks around the corner. A few years ago, I visited a national park in Tucson, Arizona, and around what felt like every corner was a sign reminding me to drink, to drink, to drink, cautioning me about the potency of the sun, warning me what could happen to my body without enough water. In 2017, I learned about four women who were arrested for their attempts to stop people dying of thirst. The women were volunteers for No Más Muertes, No More Deaths, a nonprofit that leaves water in the desert for migrants who make the perilous journey across the Sonora Desert to the Arizona-Mexico border. The logic of the persecuting attorneys at the trial was gruesome. If more people died of thirst crossing the desert, fewer people would be likely to attempt the deadly journey. You can live for 100 hours in the desert without water. That 100 hours decreases drastically with strenuous activity. And so it is no wonder that for migrants, many crossing with children, desperation and fear seize every second. It is no wonder that the same terror creeps over the camp of the Israelites in the Sinai Desert. Is the Lord among us? Is God here? This is a question that echoes across the pages of the scripture. And for Moses, this is a question that's bound up and quarreling and testing. The people of Israel and Moses spend quite a few verses here, frustrated with each other. In my experience, it is very easy to be frustrated if you don't have enough water and fear is setting in. But it turns out that this question, is the Lord among us? It can't be answered by blame and castigation. It can't be answered by bringing a lawsuit against their leader, Moses, who is asking the silliest question ever asked. Why are you complaining? The people are mad at Moses because he can't give them what they need. Moses is mad at the people because he knows he can't give them what they need. And there's one person who's very absent from this conversation. It happens to be the one person who actually can do something about that. And that person is God. The people get so angry that they start to plan a violent coup. And Moses finally decides it's time to bring God into the picture. And God gives him some instructions. Moses is to take his trusty staff and walk in front of the people, which probably was pretty hard at this point. But you may remember the staff because it's been a sign of God's faithfulness to the people since the moment they left Egypt. That staff produced locusts and turned the Nile to blood. It parted waters for a miraculous escape. And God shows up again. God appears in a particular place at a very specific rock. And Moses is told to hit the rock with a staff that God is standing in front of, and water comes gushing out of it. It seems that God has led Moses to an aquifer or some underground source of water common throughout the Sinai. Unlike that manna from heaven, the what the heck bread from the sky, God doesn't actually bring water from nothing. Water is already there. It's already there. It's beneath the surface. They just have to know where it is, and they need God to show them. Water has been there all along, but they had to ask. When no more deaths places water in the desert, they are part of a longer tradition than the wall that separates Mexico from Arizona. They are a part of a deeper story than Border Patrol. We know that the desert is only deadly because US policies have made it deadly. We have enough water. We have enough community. We have enough people to make it possible for everyone to drink water who crosses the desert. We have enough to make it possible to end policies that require these dangerous crossings. What we don't have is a political will to make a world less dangerous for people who have left everything to seek safety here in our country. And so desperate people are thirsty. What we needed was right here all along. We just needed God to show us where. Is the Lord among us? God, are you here? I have asked that question before. Maybe you have asked it too. But maybe there's another question lingering here in the line between the lines of scripture. And maybe it begins by saying, what is it that I need? What is it that I need? That might sound deceptively simple, but I wonder if we might see more of ourselves in Moses or in the people who are afraid in the desert if we take time to think about peeling back the layers of our fear and our loss and our grief and our pain and say, what is actually underneath that? Maybe that big question, is God here, is holding us back from, God, this is what I need. Maybe the answers to that big question are tied up with these other questions about the places in our lives where we are desperate and afraid and lonely. I don't think this is like a cosmic test where God is twiddling his giant God thumbs, waiting for people to fess up to what they need. God, I think, seems to be more interested in a full kind of life that acknowledges that we need, and that the people we direct our needs to often can't provide for us in the way we hope they would. And that can be hard and disappointing and frustrating. And it may be that bearing our needs, even our embarrassing needs or the needs that seem so obvious that we don't need to say them out loud, it could be that there's something to that for us. It could be that there's a discovery in finding out that what we needed was there all along. Earlier this year, our anti-racism Sunday school class read an article about migrant spirituality that I went back and reread this week. And I return to this essay because it begins with this remarkable opening story. A group of volunteers from one of those organizations that places water in the desert, they came across this group of migrants, some 20 so of them, who were sitting beside this dry riverbed. And the volunteers called out to them. They said, "Do you need any food? Are you injured? Do you have any water?" And the people looked afraid. They didn't know who these volunteers were. They gathered in this huddle and they weren't sure whether they should run and hide or respond. And after a while, one man stepped forward on behalf of the group. We don't have any more food, and we only have a little bit of water. But if you need it, we will share it with you. If you need it, we will share with you what we have. Sometimes what we need is already here. If we can pause to ask for it and to trust the God who loves us and loves our world. And it may be that we have everything we need here already. It could be that our inability to see where God is pointing us is lost in our fear and grief and frustration and disappointment with one another, and the ways that that fear and grief turns us against one another. But on the other side is a God who is opening us up to ourselves and to one another. And that might be the space that transforms our lives, that makes possible the kind of gifts that appear as gigantic blue barrels of water placed in a location of desperation. This may be the kind of transformation that makes us into people who, in the midst of our own desperation, think to offer what little they have to others, trusting that what we need will be given to us. When the Apostle Paul writes a letter to the church at Corinth for the first time, he makes an interesting reference to the story about the water from the rock. They drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. The rock that is struck and broke open and offers life-giving water to people is Jesus. But I like the part where the spiritual rock follows them around. I love that. I love the idea of these Israelites in the wilderness with this rock just spouting water, rolling behind them wherever they went. And on this Sunday, we're a part of churches around the world who are celebrating communion, World Communion Sunday. Because there is one bread, Paul also writes in 1 Corinthians, we who are many are one body, for we all partake in one bread. Some of those churches who are celebrating communion today, some of them are desperate for clean drinking water. Some of those churches are desperate for the cooling water of peace in the midst of violence. Others need the water of access to education or healthcare. And so we partake today with them, knowing that everything we need is already in this world. We partake with bread from India and Germany and France, with bread from tortillas and rolls. And I wonder, as we remember the spiritual rock that follows behind Israel, what is it that you need? What do we need to make a common life that turns us towards God? Friends, we have everything we need already here. And I wonder, where is God already among us? Amen.